You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jeffrey Hyman. Jeffrey, thanks so much for being with me today.
A pleasure to speak with you. Yeah, thank you so much.
Jeffrey, we're, of course, talking about your show, Residual Heat, at Freight and Volume, and I can't wait to get into this and talk about your work. To just step back and look at the whole show for a second, as opposed to previous shows, what's new for you in this show or in this work personally?
Well, I've actually made most of the work in the past month, so it is all very fresh and I haven't really been able to speak about most of it yet. But I will say that the work, I think, has been kind of made in these like two intense periods of working. Some of the work is from my MFA thesis at Bard, and then I was asked to do the show about 5 weeks ago, and so I just have been in the studio kind of cranking them out and thinking about a response to that work that I made last summer while I was at Bard. And yeah, I think that that's kind of how the title of the show came about, Residual Heat. And I guess thinking about the questions that were brought up in this kind of period between making the MFA work and then putting together this show, and thinking about, I guess, you know, in this time of political overheat and just in our daily lives and oversaturation of images and this buildup of emotion culturally and personally. And just thinking about, you know, what remains after intensity of emotional moments and after they've burned through and what's left behind.
I like that. Yeah, there's a kind of, you know, poetic feeling to that. So to talk a little bit about that residual heat, because that is it's interesting, right? These are all made in the winter, essentially, right? In the cold months, it sounds like. And residual heat, though, is really referring to something else, right? That almost sounds like the way you're describing it, with the kind of turmoil and onslaught of images we're hearing daily, you know, this war, that capture. I mean, it's pretty intense. Is that the residual heat sounds very personal, right? This is, it's I don't know if stress is the right word, but is it something like that? Because we're not, of course, talking about actual heat or cold. We're talking about something else.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely coming from my own, I guess, afterglow of different psychic frictions I have in my own life and past. And I think most of the work isn't depicting anything like catastrophic, though. It's usually like quiet moments that are those moments of reflection or melancholic moments as well of, I think, I guess, of images that I'm drawn to that I see throughout my daily life, or that sometimes the work like also refers to things I find on the internet or yeah, but I think it's about, you know, holding on to maybe potential for melancholic emotional depths, and trying to resist a defined narrative as well. But yeah, and I think the palette also is part of the residual heat that I'm referring to, and how some of this light that I'm depicting in these paintings, how it a bit destabilizes perception and conditions of your to maybe reimagine the work in a heated way, because the way that the light comes, it's like an excess energy, and in some moments almost like obliterates some of the information. So yeah,
let's talk about that. I like the way you're talking about these and light, of course. Let's talk about light, because that's they're infused with it, and that's of course an issue of painting typically, or at least figurative painting. So let's start with Sleepover. Color palette, light, these are all the things that you were just talking about to some extent, right, in that particular painting. And we don't have to get into narrative if you want, but we could just talk about light and color in that particular one, how you're approaching it. I'm a little curious about, because it's also, I mean, these are great titles too, Sleepover, and there's another one we'll talk about sleeping as well, which seems to figure into a little bit of how you're using or addressing light, right?
Right. In Sleepover, that one, I think the light was actually in response to Jenny sleeping. I had made them kind of not to go together necessarily, but I was looking at this image of the bed and Jenny sleeping, and then found this other image, the reference to Sleepover, and just found a connection between the different energies of bedrooms. And I think even in titling the entire show, thinking about residual heat, maybe how there was something happening in the bed before Jenny climbed up into it and decided to take a nap in a warm spot, or but I think Jenny sleeping was kind of the start of this palette with the red and white, and the reference image that I used for that painting, I took that photo of my dog during, I think it was called the heat dome, when I was living in Seattle, and it was about 110 degrees, and I just walked into the room and just saw her just sprawled out. And so I guess in that way, I was thinking about this room as being a very hot room that's just emotionally charged. And I think that also kind of happens in the act of painting. I try not to totally have like a photo realistic way of painting. I'm more interested in how just the act of painting can dictate the direction that it's going in. And initially the figures in Sleepover that are in the center, they were going to be depicted like the other figures and have one extra layer on them. But I think something about keeping them orange, more of the orange hue, makes it have a little bit more of a psychological thing going on, and I've just seen conversations with people about that piece. I feel like
About
people have been
sleepover.
able to, about sleepover is how they can really read into that piece. And that's definitely what I'm most interested in, is not having a clear narrative, I guess.
Yeah, I
But
like that.
an emotionally constructed image.
I like that so much, the idea of an emotionally constructed image with of course light. We all have I don't know if it's memories or associations. Well, I guess association is a memory, but a kind of relationship to light that that's very different for all of us, right? So a golden hour. That's a kind of a type of light that we know. And of course, the title of a painting here, that likely also has a narrative to it, and we don't have to talk about that. But this is also about light, as well as a type of story that the viewer gets involved with on a number of levels, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm whenever I'm starting a painting, yeah, I think I try to have I guess a setting that kind of usually works as an armature for the viewer. Just I think of though while painting, I try to connect to some emotion, and then sometimes the palette will change to kind of convey that emotion. And then in Golden Hour, I was thinking about how it's a charged time of day, I think, and can kind of be seen as really blissful, and nostalgic. And so that was kind of a direction for that painting. And I always like to have some bit of mystery, though, and a little bit of melancholic feel to my work. Sometimes that happens intentionally, but I think sometimes it mainly just creeps into the work. And so there's an apparition, like a phantasmic apparition happening next to this other figure that's basked in this glowing light. And yeah, I guess I was also thinking about how it might reflect resistance to, I guess, normative timelines of intimacy or everyday moments of my own life and the memories that I guess occur when looking at images, but how images become memory and fade over time. And yeah.
I like that normative timelines. I mean, of course, that makes me think right away of, like, I don't know what, sex in the afternoon, in the morning, in the middle of the night. It's like it's that too, right? I mean, it reminds me of like Tracy Emin's bed and what we project into these kinds of things, especially using a word like non-normative. When and how, what is seems to be, like you're saying, kind of all in there. And so we talked about Sleepover and Golden Hour a bit. Is there a painting in the show that's your favorite that we should be mentioning?
That's a great question. I feel it's so hard to say if I have a favorite, but there are definitely some new ones that I think are really going to add to this show and kind of support, I think, the paintings we've already talked about, since those were ones I've finished for a long time. I find it kind of hard to step back from a piece and like it immediately, so I think it's a little too soon to say any of the ones I just made are my favorite. But I do, I guess I feel really proud about some of them, but it's, I think Jenny, probably Jenny Sleeping is my favorite though, just because it's my dog. And we just have our own relationship.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about Jenny Sleeping, because I like that one a lot too. And I only asked if you had a favorite because I was going to speak about that one next. That's a really cool painting. I also like it very much.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, let's talk about that because it's about light and color and so many things that the other works are about, but it sounds like it's also about a relationship, right? It is also about the relationship with Jenny, right? There's something, there's an intimacy to relationships with animals that's quite different than anything with an adult. I don't want to say it's more or less, but it's different. I don't know, the line that comes to mind is I was reading, Jack London's book about his dog, and it kind of romanticizes the whole thing, but he's always talking about, ruffling up his face and telling him all these love curses, and it's a great line, right? Like love curses to a dog, and but he had a tremendous amount of love for that dog, and it was really spelled out in that book. But it reminds me of that a little bit, right? There's a kind of an intensity with an animal, or there can be, or dog, that isn't usually approached. And unless I'm like kind of reading into this too much, that's what you're talking about here a little bit, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think some of my work in the past has been erotic, and I think in a way in grad school I was trying to lean away from that, and had a lot of conversations about what eroticism is. And I think, what is it? Faculty member Shiv Kotecha said something about how erotic is a state of waiting, or it's about a temporal wanting of some sort, and not always necessarily tied to sex, but yeah, so in a way, I've been thinking about that as well in the new work, and particularly in that painting of Jenny. I wanted to show a moment of, I guess, eroticism, but in a way that is not about my own sexuality, but just about the erotic of looking at something you love, and so that I think influenced this piece for sure, and the Jenny painting, or the Jenny Sleeping painting, and wanted to, like, I don't know, I guess break some of the rules of grad school and just paint your dog. And put it in the center of the canvas and use white paint. So, yeah, in a way, it felt a little bit like a way to step away from always depicting the figure. I feel like most of my paintings have a human, usually male, nude in them. And so, yeah. Interesting. It's also interesting with the newer works, actually. Most of the figures in the new paintings for this show have figures in them somehow, but they're cropped or distorted, and it's not usually like the center of the painting, the focal point. So.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, and it is so. I feel like we could talk about, kind of erotics and that world for quite a while. It's such a big issue, especially with that, or a complex issue, especially with the idea of, waiting being part of that. There's so many aspects to it. It's been great talking to you. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
So I feel like I actually listen to a lot of audiobooks more so than
Well, that counts. That counts.
Sitting down and, I don't really count it as reading, but I listen a lot and, have been, I guess I listen to a kind of mix of things, sometimes theory, sometimes, I guess, drama or science fiction. But I've lately been listening to Brandon Taylor's Minor Black Figures, which is a really interesting book about the main character is a black gay man who lives in New York City, and he meets this priest and they kind of fall in love. So it's a little bit of a love story, but he's also main character is a painter and kind of dealing with like the contemporary art world. And so it, in a way, like I'm reading that one because it just feels a little relatable and not in terms of falling in love with a priest, but dealing with, being a younger artist and figuring out the art world. And I think also I've been listening to some Bataille about, I think, excess energy. I think it's in like the Cursed Shares, the title of the, but just about how culturally we have this buildup of energy in our world and coming all from the sun, this amount, this excess light that we could never like fully capture all of it, but is constantly hitting the earth, and how different cultures deal with that and in terms of like sacrifice and I listen to a lot of podcasts as well, and but yeah, I'm always listening to different things in the studio, and usually music, cool, though, that I can sing along to.
That's cool. Well, good talking to you about all this. I really appreciate your time and this work. And for those who want to get into this,
yeah,
more,
what a
really
treat.
Encourage them, to go see the show. There's links here to see the show. So, for everyone, see it before it closes. It's open through April 18th of 2026. Jeffrey, thanks a lot for talking with me today. I really appreciate your work and your time.
Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, pleasure to speak with you, and it's thrilling. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.